Hey, what's going on, everybody? Shane Presley here to tell you about my friend's Music Record Shop. Check him out in the heart of the Grove at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right in between the Ready Room and the Demo. This week they got new records from The Dead Weather, Churches, Disclosure, and reissues from Queen and New Order. Mention Rock Paper Podcast and get 10% off your order. They do new music happy hour every Friday, and live in-store performances on Saturdays. One of the next ones is October 3rd, Rock Paper Podcast presents Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals and Delta Soul Revival, sponsored by Four Hands Brewery and the Gramophone. So come check it out, October 3rd. Follow them online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
This is Through the Scope,
and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Podcast is kind of like a—it's like a radio show that's not on the radio; it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Yeah. This is Rock Paper Podcast with Shane and his guests. You will listen to what he says.
Just shut.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 119. Hanging out with the guys of Through the Scope. Hello. Welcome to the show, guys.
What's up, man?
What up, yo?
I guess we'll get this thing started by going around the room, and you guys can all say hi. And
am I up first?
Yeah, sure.
Hello, everyone. My name's Henry, and I am the vocalist for Through the Scope.
Welcome, Henry.
Thanks, bud. Thanks for having me on, sir.
I am Alex. I play drums.
Sucks.
I'm Chris. I'm the bass player.
I'm Jake, and I play guitars.
All right. Yeah, so you guys were set off mic. This is like your first interview, huh?
Official interview.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you don't count drunk people at Point Fest.
Hey. They count for me, right?
It's always good to have a conversation.
No, this is exciting. I mean, you guys, this is a very exciting time to talk.
Because,
yeah, we got the album coming out. We got a big show coming up. Yeah. So, yeah, about that 10-3, October 3rd, come out to Pops and of the CD release party with local guys, Discrepancies.
Yes.
Yeah, those guys have been kicking some ass lately.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, they have. Opened up for Mushroomhead recently.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was at I ducked out before Mushroomhead, but I was at Pops that night to see Midnight Hour and Discrepancies. And those two kicked some ass down there, and it was a lot of fun. But I ended up running across town to another show, so I didn't stick around. I saw Mushroomhead a few times before with the head-to-head tours with Head PE, so
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've seen them both a couple times, but they're good shows.
Yeah. We've never played with them. I know a couple of the guys came out to one of the Battle of Point Fest shows.
Check
us out. That was a while ago, though.
Oh.
That was like winter.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so I guess that's where we can start there. Like, I met you guys at that battle for Point Fest.
Yeah, was that the first one or the second?
I think it was the second.
Yeah, I think you were there for the first one, weren't you?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
It feels like you were,
I feel like you,
I know for sure the second
one. Yeah.
I think you've been at Pops every time we've been at Pops.
Yeah.
Every single time.
If
you go to Pops and look around, you're always there.
Yeah, I try to be that guy.
Yeah, well, that's, hey, it's that guy. It's a good guy to be.
But I mean, one, I love I love local music. I mean, like I said, the backbone of this show. But you know, it's just a good time to get out there and see some live music any night. So, and Pops, they're always doing it, man. They always got great shows coming through there and it's nice that they give guys like yourself a stage to play, you know, to support the local scene and stuff. So.
Oh, it's an awesome place to play as well.
Yeah, it's definitely our favorite venue.
Yeah, absolutely.
They definitely have their act together, for sure.
But yeah, so I think, I met you guys there, either the first or the second round. And I was like, I guess we have mutual friend Tim, and and he was telling me about checking you guys out, and then that's led to me down there. And
thanks, Tim.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. and I was like, somebody said it was like your second show or something as a band or whatever it was, and I was like, holy shit, you know, like this is crazy. You guys are second show, and you're in the Battle for Point Fest, and then.
Our first show was actually the first Battle for Point
Fest.
Our fourth show was Point Fest.
So yeah, that's crazy.
We didn't even plan on playing Battle for Point Fest because we got done. Got done writing the first of our material, practicing it, and then I sent an email to, I think it was
Coco or somebody.
It was the other guy. Shit, what's his name?
Oh, Colin.
No, Colin.
Yeah,
and I was like, hey, we got done writing our shit. If you guys got any shows you want to throw us on, we sent him links to the demos. which don't listen to our demos because
they sound like shit compared to the album. And he was like, oh, we got a spot open at Battle Point Fest if you guys want to do that. And I was like, fuck yeah, we'll do that. Yeah. So that was our first fucking show.
I thought the battles were done.
I thought they were all booked up.
I thought we missed the boat on that. Oh,
maybe next year.
Yeah, we got lucky though.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how was that experience playing Point Fest?
Oh, it was great, dude.
Awesome.
Got to, yes. You know, it was awesome to, that was our first dive into the local scene to actually see what other kind of bands are out there. So it was awesome to get to hear what other bands are doing, as well as finally get our shit out there, you know. And
we got to play with so many great bands in the process, too.
Sure.
Right. Yeah, I know. That was great for me, too, because I haven't played out since fucking high school.
So yeah.
I was definitely ready to get out and play shows again.
Absolutely. Yeah, before we started playing out, I hadn't played out in, 10 years?
Holy shit.
Yeah, since... Alex is old as shit.
Yeah. He's the grand old man of band.
We're only going to be together for another 5 years for this. It's arthritis.
Got liver spots.
So you guys had all played previously in the scene or something? Or just on your own? And
a lot of basement bands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, basement bands for me, and then a cover band. I played like maybe 4 shows in a cover band prior to our first show, something like that.
Yeah, I started out when I was 14 playing guitar in a cover band with like my brother and my dad.
Yeah.
So it was cool because my dad was in the band, so I got to go play bars and shit being 14, which is pretty cool. And then that broke up because we had douchebag singers. And then I played in the only metal band in my high school, and they needed a bass player, and I was like, fuck it, I play guitar, I guess I can play bass, so I did. I was with them for a year. And now I'm full-time vocalist, so you know, all I have left to do is drums.
Alright.
Not stealing it from me.
I don't think I could ever get that good.
I've been playing since I was basically 3 years old, keeping up the neighbor kids.
How could you even remember? Fucking liar.
I mean, it was like 45 years
ago. And really started taking it seriously around, I don't know, 12 or 13. Started playing in a little cover band with my stepdad at 14. Did a couple shows. Then formed my own band after that. Played in a couple bands. And only one of them really came up here. I'm from Cape Girardeau. That's where they were all based. But I was in a band called Emaciation that's still around in the Cape Girardeau local scene. But with that, I got to play the Milwaukee Metal Fest a couple times, play the same stage as Ice-T and Body Count, which is pretty cool. And then we actually got to open up for Cannibal Corpse at Pops, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Fucking bet.
Yeah, definitely cool.
I guess Ice-T and Body Count was at Warped Tour or something, I think.
They did. I think they were on Mayhem.
Or Mayhem?
Last year?
It was one of my buddy went to the show, and he got pictures, an autograph for me of Ice-T and Coco. Nice. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
And then Cannibal Corpse, wasn't that? They were. Wasn't that them in
Ace Ventura?
Ace Ventura, yeah, right. Sure. Yeah, that's
all about, oh, yeah.
But, excuse me, sir.
Hammer smashed face.
I pull that line a lot, that, the whole New England clam chowder.
Is that the red or the white?
I never remember that. Yeah, such a great movie.
Somebody else
that movie was fucking
amazing. Yeah. Finish those quotes.
That's yeah.
Great flick. Great flick.
Captain's Log.
But yeah, so that's cool that you guys come from all sorts of various backgrounds. And that. So what gets you guys into metal, though? Like, you said you're playing with your dad, Henry. And
We didn't play metal at all.
Yeah.
We just did, you know, typical cover band songs, you know. But I got into metal. Basically, I kind of got bored playing. Like, I mean, I'm ashamed to say Nickelback was my favorite band at one point.
Oh, wow. Holy shit.
Did I ever tell you?
No. Yeah, we probably wouldn't have let you in the band.
That was when I was in fucking sixth grade. So, I mean.
I guess
I don't understand how
they make tons of money, so obviously people like them.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, they're good.
Somehow
Chad's got his shit on lock.
But I got bored playing that kind of shit, and then one of my buddies introduced me to Killswitch Engage.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, I learned some of this shit.
Yeah. Well, Nickelback, when they first hit, they did have some pretty decent stuff.
Yeah, their first couple albums were good. Yeah.
They were relatively heavy too. For being Nickelback, they were.
Yeah, and then the rest of some of the shit they've been putting out is just.
Hey, I want to be a rock star. Yeah. I can't really say a whole lot because Creed was one of my favorite bands. Honestly, Mark Tremonti is one of the people who got me into heavier guitar.
Sure.
Listening to old Creed.
I still listen to Creed sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll still blast it. You know,
you listen to What If and stuff. I mean, there's some pretty heavy stuff there. Yeah. And but yeah, then they went and did a, 6 feet from the edge.
That was one of my favorite songs for a long time too. I still play that guitar riff all the time.
He does.
It's a great song, man. I love Tremonti. Got to give props to that guy. He knows how to work his way around a guitar.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. You said Killswitch, and I was going to ask you guys, because you guys just got to play a show with Howard Jones.
Yes.
And his new project, Devil You Know. So, was that a pretty surreal moment, or?
It was definitely a big, nice big jump, you know?
It was fun. Yeah, sweet. Sure. He's one of my heroes.
Yeah. Right.
Howard Jones, he's the man.
Yeah.
He's probably the best metal vocalist.
Such
alive.
A commanding presence.
Yeah.
He controls the room as soon as he walks on stage.
Dude, it was weird though, because I think we had more people watching us than there were people watching them. It was fucking weird. I was expecting that place to be absolutely packed to the fucking gills.
Yeah.
And there was 25-30 people.
I don't know.
Toot our own horn or anything.
Sure. I do that a lot though. I go to a lot of shows and I'm I'm just a. Go in there, I'm like, where the hell is everybody at? I don't know what it happens, if it's, not being promoted right or whatever, but I'm like, I'm, super excited as a fan that I'm here and I'm front row and there's 10 people in the room. But as a fan, I'm also what the hell is going on? Why are there not more people here? And I feel bad for the band sometimes.
I think part of it was, it was at the Firebird, and that was back with the anniversary of the Michael Brown shit. So all that Ferguson shit was flaring up again.
Sure.
So I think that scared a lot of people away.
Yeah,
I mean, we can make excuses all
right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was that was the same day they shut down I-70 at the
Bunch of Orange. Right.
So Howard made a comment about it. He's like, "How about all these bands that came out here and got robbed tonight?"
Man, that's something that's messed up. I don't get what's going on with that, but there's every week I see somebody's got their, their shit broken into somewhere in St. Louis,
it's gonna be really detrimental to the scene as far as touring acts.
They killed Michael Brown, let's burn down the fucking Little Caesars.
Yeah. Talking about
vans getting broken into and stuff, something's got to happen with that mess. It's getting crazy with all the touring bands that keep coming through here and getting their stuff taken.
Yeah,
Yeah, I see fucking GoFundMe accounts all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, our shit got stolen in St. Louis. Can you help us?
Well, then somebody in the dummies, they put it all on eBay. They say we got a whole trailer full of gear.
Perfect for any band trying to start up or if you want to try to get a studio going.
Yeah.
That's not suspicious.
Yeah. I saw some video, a guy put up a thing about a lock that has a GPS thing or whatever. So anyway, something but you hide it on the trailer or something like that, and then you can track your stuff down wherever, you know, if anybody...
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, or something like that. And
that's actually a really good idea.
But there's you know, there's a lot of things, but there's got to be something done. Like, I don't know what's going on, like why St. Louis seems to be this target of all
the... They put these venues in not-so-good areas,
yeah.
And then, you know, bands have to park on the street,
right.
You know, around the corner, things like that, and there's hardly any security patrolling sure. the area, you know. Whereas at Pops, you know, I mean, hell, we were out there passing out flyers at the Gwar show, and there's, you know, three trucks, you know, security guys driving around, you yeah. know.
Well, Fubar did have that.
We didn't get stopped, yeah. but my girlfriend got stopped.
Yeah, they, yeah, I took my brother-in-law down there to Pops, like, when he was, I guess, 14 or something like that. Took him to see, I think his first one we went down there to was, like, Red Jumpsuit Apparatus or whatever. Which he was, like, a huge fan, and like, but my mother-in-law, his mom, was, like, totally worried about taking... You know, her baby, her 14-year-old son, to yep. to Pops and stuff, to the East Side, and I'm uh-huh. like, it's like really nothing to worry about. I mean,
right.
it's yeah. not exactly a great neighborhood because you're surrounded by two strip clubs and everything else, but
yeah. but there's no
that's the funny part sure. about it,
right there. Yeah. So there's
the and Monsanto there, Drive and
yeah.
the big
yeah.
factory and then titty
yeah.
bars and that's
yeah. 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 And then but you got like I said, the security's driving around.
Right.
They don't you know there's
you've
nothing.
Got plenty of cameras yeah. around. You know.
It's a very I mean I've. Well, you know, I mean, things can happen anywhere, but I feel like you know, they do have plenty of
yeah.
security.
Yeah. Well, from what I've been reading, it seems like a lot of the robberies are happening when they're just like stopping for lunch somewhere.
Yeah,
or
right.
Like
yeah,
that. It's not even at the venues.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's crazy.
Sajid only has like 300 people.
Yeah. but yeah, so the album Center Mass, where'd that title come from?
Guns and stuff. Yeah, no. Hey, you know, when you figured it would kind of play with the whole through the scope thing, you know, you're shooting a gun and you always want to aim center mass, and yeah. we're kind of aiming center mass for this album, so.
Nice.
Metaphors.
Yeah, yeah. Metaphors. Metaphors.
But yeah, I got to listen to some of it today at work, and I was really digging it, man. Like, I'm not huge on metal necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I do I listen to a lot of more blues and stuff, but I really got into some of the tracks I thought stuck out for me were Distance, Looking Good with Broken Bones, Seek and Hide, and You Don't Know. So those
nice.
Those four grabbed my attention.
Thank you.
So yeah. Yeah, and they all offer various reasons. Like I thought, with You Don't Know, I thought it was fun because actually has Henry singing more instead of more growling and screaming.
I try to keep a nice 50-50 mix right. going.
Gotta put that soulful voice to use.
Yeah,
yeah.
like butter.
Yeah, creamy beige.
But another thing I really like, even though it's like real heavy and like you guys are, you know, getting down, and then like you'll hit like some tasty guitar riff in the middle there, you know, just like do some solo and I love how like it sounds like really good, like because it comes through very well the way you mixed it and stuff, and like it was fun to yeah. hear.
Got to so. Give props to Shad.
Oh, yeah. Shadrick
Beecham, SB man. Studios in Cape Girardeau.
Yeah.
He's a man.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the chops that put anybody to shame.
Right.
I mean, literally, his chop sideburns, yeah. they're fantastic. Phenomenal.
They are.
Perfectly groomed.
They're excellent.
Not to mention that man bun of his.
That man bun. Shad's a really good guy, and he does really awesome work.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. If you're in a band and you want to record $40 a song, you'll never find a better deal.
Yeah.
For the quality work that he does, we were blown away by how good it was. We weren't expecting that for paying that much per song. So,
yeah.
Hell yeah, Shad's the man.
Yeah, very cool. So is that about a year's from Cape Girardeau or something? Or how did you guys
No, we actually got recommended, or he got recommended to us by Stephen Lepper. He's a friend of Rev Nation.
Okay.
He talked to me at Point Fest after our show, and was asking if we were looking for a studio to record, and was talking about that. And I'm like, well, hey, that's my hometown.
Yeah,
so, you know,
nice.
Let's check it out. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to get a copy of the physical album.
Yeah, they
we are too.
Yes.
They should be in at the end of this week. I just got notification that they're shipping today. So.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, you.
Sorry.
But yeah, I'm still.
Damn it, Jake.
I'm still one of those guys that loves having physical copy, though. Like, I,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. If I'm going to pay money for it, I want it, you know, be it CD or vinyl.
Sure.
I want it in my hand.
Yeah,
I'm still going to, you know, put it on my phone somehow so I can listen to it
definitely.
Wherever I'm at.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's what's cool with vinyl. I mean, I've gone into a lot of detail with my love of vinyl on the show, but, like, what's cool is that they're doing, like, a lot of them where you get, like the business card, download card inside the album, so you don't have to worry about ripping it or buying it twice or any of that. It's already done for you. And so that's a nice thing about buying vinyl. But, yeah, even CDs are, you know, it's easy to rip getting a digital copy. But so might as well spend another – or a lot of times it's the same price. You get a physical copy for $10 or buy it on iTunes for $10 or whatever.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love you know, the artwork and the liner notes and all the stuff that just it comes with it all. You know, just pictures and everything else.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
It's all part of
it's, it's an experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the smell of it when you. Yeah. You know, I mean, really.
Ripping the plastic open.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we're definitely excited for it.
Yeah. So who besides like Killswitch did you guys, you know, like? For getting into metal, you said something about Lamb of God earlier.
Oh yeah, Lamb of God's my favorite band. So yeah, you know, I can't really say we sound anything like Lamb of God.
Sure.
I mean, there's definitely some influences there, but you know, I wish I could sound like them. But but yeah, they're definitely a huge influence as far as the metal of the band is concerned.
Yeah,
I think Godsmack was probably the first metal band I ever. Got into like Godsmack and Rob Zombie back when
sure.
his Past, Present, and Future came out.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That was my introduction to metal.
I saw Rob Zombie at like Mayhem or whatever the one he does. Or I think it's Mayhem, isn't it? I don't know. Whatever.
He's done a couple, at least one or two times.
But he, man, it made me laugh because like he's up there and. Playing and of course we're in the time when everybody's got their phone out recording it and he's like he went off and like yelling at the crowd and he's like put your phone down, there's enough shitty videos on YouTube of this show, like, you know, just enjoy this moment and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
He did. So go ahead. I was gonna say that drives me crazy, man.
Yeah,
just seeing all phones in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. you want to let him out?
Yeah,
I was gonna see
it. Do you mind letting him out real quick?
Sorry.
Yeah, he did the
You're the best.
yeah, he did the same thing when I saw him at the pageant back in 2009.
Yeah.
Everybody had their phones out, nobody's moving.
Right.
He stopped the show and told everybody to get their phones out and they all stood up on their platforms. He's like, everybody get your pictures
grab
done
his,
now.
Yeah.
Grab the plastic.
You know, did different poses and stuff. You know? it was pretty funny. But,
for sure.
And he told him to put it away and start enjoying the show.
I even saw Aziz Ansari one night at the pageant, and you know,
to see him.
Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. But it's you know, it's a comedian. He's going to be standing there holding a microphone the whole time. It's not like he's doing
exactly.
But people, and they said they made a nice announcement saying, you know, put your phones away, don't record this, and just, you know. And, but of course, as soon as he steps on stage, you know, you see all the flashes going off and stuff. And like, and he's like, he basically did the same thing, joked on. He's like, all right, get your pictures out of the way. And he's like, you know, like doing like the robot, like in all these different motions. And then he's like, all right, now put your phone down and let's, you know, have a good time. So
exactly. That's one thing that really bugs me about going to concerts now. People just living through their little, you know, 3-inch screen.
Yeah.
Instead of enjoying the moment. It's like, how many times are you going to watch that video
sure.
that you just, you know, you wasted your money to live through this little screen. You know?
I try to record like one.
Totally understand. I like that. I've always liked taking pictures of shows. Yeah. You know, the people that sit there for
sure.
You look at the timestamp and it's like 30 minutes. What the hell are you doing, man?
Well, yeah, now with the iPads and everything else, so like, you know, now that you got even a bigger screen, they're holding, you know, taking up the whole, you're right in front of your face.
Absolutely.
So, but I like recording like one, like I use my YouTube channel almost like as like a time capsule kind of idea. Yeah. Like I like to record a song and put it on there like a, and try to just, sort of like catalog all the different things I've been to, and
right.
I don't, not every time, but I do a lot. Like I've got a lot of the videos on there, and and then I also like to record, especially with like the local guys, to try to use it as promotional stuff. Like, look, this is what you're missing out on. You need to, you know, make sure you see them next time they're
absolutely
playing and stuff like that. Like I don't do it as much with some of the larger bands of the Rob Zombie level or anything, because there's enough of those, like it's like you said.
Yeah, right.
But you know, some, you know, the guys like yourself, there's not a, you guys don't, probably don't have a ton of videos of you guys playing, so it's nice to,
people can gladly record.
Yeah,
those.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I try to, you know, get a nice video if I can get some decent audio of it and put it up there and get people to see what's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, everybody's got their reasons for recording stuff. It's just the different style of concert nowadays than it was.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You don't have lighters during the
space. Right. You have cell phones instead of lighters.
Some people like fully embrace it, you know, like they'll, I just went to a show Friday as a country guy, Chris Jansen, and he's like, everybody get your phones out, record it, you know, to get a picture and so or whatever. And like, so he, you know, he wanted it, but he's also on the way up, you know, so he's, you know, trying to get exposure and things. But,
right, absolutely.
But yeah, and then you go to a show too, and every day you tell everybody, get your phone, you turn your flashlight on and light up the whole place. And it does look pretty cool though sometimes compared to.
Yeah,
but I could imagine that would look pretty cool, just all this blue light everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. Like, you think, like, if we ever had, like, a power outage in that place, like, everybody, you know, obviously the phone batteries would eventually, but if like, we were in a place like that, an arena, they can light that whole thing up like it was, like,
absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
It's pretty wild.
Looks like it's daytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, October 3rd, Pop's CD release party, guys.
Yes.
$5. We'll get you in.
Cool $5.
Yeah. And then I guess the album's separate on that, or you guys were saying you got a deal.
Oh, we have a special.
Yeah. Until running from, I don't know when this is gonna air.
I'm gonna have this up Thursday, so it didn't go until Friday, right?
Yeah. Okay, well
we've got a
day
to get it.
Our deal goes till Friday.
Yeah.
9:25. If you buy tickets off of our website, which is ThroughTheScopeBand.com, you get a free digital download of the full album.
Yeah.
So $5 gets you $15 worth of goods.
Yeah.
So.
Very nice.
So yes, take advantage of that. And we will mail you the tickets.
A $15 value.
No charge.
It's rolling back prices.
Right.
That's right. Got the blue light special going on.
Yeah.
We got that special going on, and then we're going to have some new merch at the show.
We do.
Yeah, we're going to have some hoodies.
Oh,
we are.
Nice.
Yeah,
we are.
No one tells me anything. Well, it's because you don't show up to band meetings.
Yeah. Sorry, I live 40 minutes away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost hoodie weather.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, we figured it's perfect timing. Why not?
Yeah,
sure.
People are going to need hoodies. We're going to need advertisements. So.
Yeah.
Get that underwear merch going.
Yeah. We do. We're gonna have some boy shorts in the works here soon.
Nice. Strictly for boys.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not true.
I could use some new panties. Mine are filthy as hell. So
we'll get you some. Be the TTS jock strap.
Yeah.
That's right.
It is funny how much like. Different things that people put their name on and things like. I think I think Gene Simmons is the master of it.
He's the king.
Yeah.
Merchandising, that's what it's all about. Merchandising.
Yeah, that guy, he'll put his KISS logo on anything.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Spaceballs the flamethrower.
Spaceballs. The Detroit movie. Yeah. Yeah, I got that Mel Brooks box set.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's some quality entertainment right there.
Absolutely.
There's a couple of my, I still haven't even got around to watching, because every time I like feel like watching, like I end up putting in Young Frankenstein or Spaceballs or Robin Hood Minutetide. Yeah, there's a couple on there like that I still haven't even watched. So I need to make my way through there. But I think it's like 7 DVDs total. It's got history of the world and it's what's that, like Angry Jurors or something like that, or some along those lines.
Something like that.
Yeah, whatever it is. But it's one of them that's the one I haven't seen. So
yeah.
But I mean,
I know I haven't seen it.
Yeah. But with Young Frankenstein as being as good as it is, man, and Spaceballs and stuff.
Yeah, Spaceballs is the bee's knees of the Mel Brooks stuff for me. Yeah.
And like I said,
I like Blazing
Saddles. Oh, yeah, Blazing
Saddles.
Yeah, there's so many great lines in those movies, man. He's a genius.
Yeah. Quote him all day.
Absolutely. I could live my life on movie quotes.
Yeah, but yeah, that Robin Hood Men in Tights too. Like that's it's crazy to think. Like you look at that movie and like how like, you know, like Dave Chappelle, like you know he's in the movie and before he makes his big break and stuff. And
I think about that movie every time we're driving across the river too. I'm on the east side. I'm on the west side.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that in years.
Little John. don't be fooled. I'm very large in real life. that's right up my alley, man. I love comedy movies. That people always like, you know, there'll be something like Goodfellas or whatever, or some, you know, classic movies and stuff, or Godfather or whatever. People are like, you know, have you seen this? I'm like, no. I'm like, you know, just now, recent, like, you know, now I'm 30 and I'm finally kind of catching on to some movies that are these classics and things. But but for me, like, I just watch a lot of comedy. I like, you know, I love, it's like, I don't know how many times I've watched Tommy Boy, you know, and like, and stuff. Like, it just,
classics.
I'll watch it anytime it's on and stuff. And,
any of the old Adam Sandler movies?
Yeah. The early ones. Yeah. You can
a lot of the SNL people in general.
Yeah,
you can throw those. You can throw most of the new Sandler movies in the trash.
Yeah.
Like,
Twisted wasn't too. Or was it? I think it was Twisted.
Was the last really good one, I thought.
Or Blender.
Waterboy,
that's what
had
it was.
Some good stuff, but
Blender, like, wasn't too terrible. Yeah. Terry Crews was the funniest part of that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Chuck and Larry.
That
was
a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't one bad. I've only seen it once, so I can't make a full judgment on it.
But
then
I've got to see it twice.
But then you got like...
You're out of the band, Henry.
Grown-ups.
Yeah.
Rob Schneider is a carrot. Tifty turfty diddly beard. It's the stapler.
Just reminded me of Tenacious D when he said he was out of the band, and that won't be necessary. I quit. I was jamming some D last night at work and stuff. Just a long ass fucking time ago when the temp go kick-a-poo. There's some metal for you with
I love
Dio.
The D. I can honestly say I'm a huge fan of the D.
Yeah. I met those guys.
We all know.
You got to meet them?
I met them. I got them to sign my record at Vintage Vinyl. They came through and they did a signing before their show at the Pageant.
Nice.
Two, 3 years ago, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that was... That's pretty awesome. I mean, we didn't know, it wasn't much. Like, it was very quick, and they're trying to move the line along, and they weren't allowing pitchers and all that stuff just because there was such a big line. But it was just really cool just to be in the same room with them for a moment, and especially you know, not since Jack's like a big movie star now, and then to get a see him in person and stuff, and it was pretty neat. Just and they destroyed the pageant. It was such a great show. Like, it was
awesome.
They you know, the new album or the latest album is Rise of the Phoenix.
Okay.
And it's spelt in F-E-N-I-X, and so like it, you know, supposed to be a play on like penis, and like, and then even the phoenix looks like a giant penis with wings. And then I at this show, they had the phoenix on the stage, and then like so for their finale, like it, like the phoenix like ejaculated over the entire crowd, like all these little paper sperms, and then
like a fucking Rammstein concert.
Yeah. Right. So then it deflates down, and then it opens up like a big vagina. Like, the guys come out for their encore. They come out of there like, "Whoa, man, it was wet in there." Jesus.
Now, did they have a full band at that show, or was it just them?
Yeah, they had it was the two of them, and then they had like a drummer and a bass player and maybe an extra guitar player.
I've
think
I've only seen them, both of them and their acoustics.
Yeah, they
I just wanted to see the full band.
Yeah, they were great, man. They were a lot of fun and just had me laughing the whole time, and they're a great show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was really like had my fingers crossed that it was going to be Dave Grohl filling in on drums.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, I know, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so that would have been you know, that would have been something really cool then, but...
Yeah, absolutely.
He was too busy playing guitar from a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
A throne.
Yeah, it became a throne, yeah.
Yeah, they,
That's awesome.
Yeah, those things,
yeah.
For sure. But yeah, I love that he does that, like, the devil and stuff, and like...
Fuck.
Yeah. I'm the devil, I'll do what I want. I don't know. That's cool, man. I wish I could be at that level where I could just, you know,
do whatever,
do fun
you
stuff
want.
Like that. Yeah,
all day,
goof off
day.
With my friends and just get paid a lot of money to do it. And,
absolutely.
So.
I mean, really, isn't that what we're all doing?
Yeah, just without the money.
Yeah, without the money.
It's like people do things just to get paid. That's just really sad.
It's yellow.
Go
different.
Ahead. That's right.
Yeah.
Cut to a shot of me wearing all Reebok.
Yeah, right.
Now I get it.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Yeah.
I just watched that fucking movie like a few weeks ago.
Did you?
Yeah, because I hadn't seen it in like 5 years. So I was like, I should probably watch this again.
Yeah.
It was on Netflix.
That was my shit back in the day.
One or two?
One.
Yeah. The two's good too.
Oh,
they're both great.
Yeah.
I only watch what's on Netflix, and I don't think two is on Netflix. So,
no, just the first one.
There's been rumors at times of like a third one, but I don't know if they'll ever do it. But I'd watch it if they did.
Yeah, I'd heard that that Dana Carvey and Mike Myers had like a big falling out. Apparently Dana Carvey accused Mike Myers of stealing the Dr. Evil character from him.
Oh yeah,
like he came up with it or whatever, and then Mike Myers stole it and made it big.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
He based it off of a freaking Bond villain.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just something I read. I think about a year ago. I think I read that when they were talking about rumors of Wayne's World 3.
I don't know
if they could pull off a Wayne's World 3.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be kind of haggard for it, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're both looking kind of rough.
But that's what, like, I think that's kind of the fun of it, though. Like, because, I mean, you're getting at a point, like, now where you're getting movies like, you know, they're doing Super Troopers 2 coming out.
Yeah.
They
just did Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber 2 was funny, man.
I never saw it.
I haven't brought myself to watch it.
It blew my expectations out of the water. Yeah, I didn't have very high hopes for it, but it was.
I mean, the first
I
one.
Myself laughing my ass off.
The first one's like in my top three all time. Like,
absolutely. I'll watch that anytime it's on.
Yep.
I don't think a day goes by where I don't quote that movie.
Yeah.
They go tough.
For sure.
Well, see you later.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's one of those that just has so many lines. Like, it's just. The big gulps. But then there's one of those movies too, like, as you watch it a third, fourth, fifth time, whatever it is, like you still keep catching more lines.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I don't even know, maybe 6-7 years ago, I didn't know that Samsonite was a brand.
Oh, yeah.
Luggage. Really?
Yeah. I had no idea. Sure. Or, yeah, I'm out buying luggage all the time.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, well, that's
yeah, and once I found out about that, hilarious.
Sure.
It was hilarious before.
I get the joke.
Yeah, that's fun too. Like when you go, you watch movies that maybe you watched when you were younger that you probably shouldn't have been watching when you were younger, and then you watch them as an adult, and then you get more of the jokes that they find. Yes. They find like everything all clicks and stuff. And but yeah, like I like the line, you know, the whole thing in the when they're in the honeymoon suite in the tub, and then he's like, yeah, some little filly break your heart. Oh no, it was a girl. And then, like, yeah, she wrote me a John Deere letter. And like,
some crap about me not listening to her.
I don't know.
I watched Silence of the Lambs for the first time a few years ago, and I was like, wow, I get like 10 Family Guy jokes now.
Yeah, yeah. That's the other.
And Joe Dirt.
For sure. Yeah.
Like, I understand the Buffalo Bill thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's
Buffalo Bob is what Joe Dirt.
That's the other side of the coin too. As you go and experience more culture, you start getting all the other references from all that stuff. But yeah, that Joe Dirt, man, that's a good one too.
Oh,
they just made a sequel to that. I haven't brought myself to watch that one either. But
is it out already?
It's on Crackle. It's right to Crackle.
Oh, really?
Crackle.com. So.
Wow.
I didn't know Crackle was still a website.
Yeah.
Didn't they used to do the like e-grams or whatever?
Yeah, Crackle's kind of like the e-bombs world sort of video site like kind of thing. But it was, I don't know, they got some kind of exclusive deal and like they, I guess, I don't know. You would think like a movie, I mean, Joe Dirt did well. The first, so I don't know, but I guess they couldn't get anybody back the sequel or something like that. So
I think they got quite a bit of the cast back. I know Kid Rock didn't come back, but
there's a big old hunk of poop.
That's a space peanut.
Yeah,
great night.
I think of that movie a lot because I work do custodial work during the day.
Oh, okay.
And so like the whole thing like you know, hey, corn off the cob, and you're like, this kid ought to get his money back. So.
You try and French up your name by adding E to an end of dirt.
My entire workday consists of me and my buddies quoting Archer, SpongeBob, or American Dad.
Yeah,
it's pretty much the whole fucking day.
Me and my wife go to we went to go see SpongeBob 2, the Sponge Out of Water movie.
Never saw it.
The two movies are so funny. Like I love the movies. I don't get to watch the series very often, but the two movies crack me up, man. They're very funny.
Dude, I love the first movie is hilarious.
Yeah.
And the first three seasons are amazing. But like after that it just gets too like more. It's like in the beginning, it's a kid's show, but it has so many adult jokes in there.
Sure.
Like I'll watch that still and be like, oh, I never got that joke before, and now I get it.
Right.
But like after that, it was just like all tailored for kids.
So I don't know, man. Like, some of the animation in the later seasons are pretty graphic shit. Yeah. Man. Like there's an episode where SpongeBob gets a splinter. And it is the most violent-looking splinter I've ever seen. I mean, it's just infected pus, and it's on a highly detailed image of it. Well, and then they go and pull the thing out of his thumb, and it just sprays everywhere.
I'll never forget watching SpongeBob with my little brother and sister, and I was doing something else, you know, not paying attention. And all of a sudden, I hear some heavy metal coming out of the TV.
This Pantera.
Pantera. There's a big Pantera logo, you know, with this is amazing.
Yeah, dude, that episode is hilarious.
One of my favorite metal bands of all time.
I thought you said we were going to the park. I did. The industrial park.
One of my favorite things that, like, you know, kids don't get, but as an adult you get it, but like we're in the movie, in the first movie, like where they are at the bar eating ice cream and they like get all like wasted on ice cream and he's like, you know, yelling and stuff and their eyes are like all bloodshot and stuff and like
and he's hungover the next day and he goes in and just tears Mr. Krabs a new one.
It's just
I've never seen that
yeah
waiter
Dude, that movie is, do you owe yourself to watch that movie? It's hilarious.
Yeah, the whole I do the line too a lot where they get these little seaweed mustaches from the princess.
Yeah,
you know they're unsure of themselves going into this mission and stuff. She's like, you know, gives them mustache and they think they're big tough guys and all this stuff. So like, they got these seaweed mustaches on, and then they go up to like this biker guy and he's like, you know, that's not a mustache. This is a mustache. And they squeeze them off. Mustache pops out of his face.
Like, Alec Baldwin that does his voice. He like rips him off. He's like, I thought you still had pieces of lettuce stuck to your lip from lunch.
Yeah. That's the, I mean, you know, it's funny regardless, you know, whether you're 10 or 30 or whatever. Right. So.
Hate is going to hate.
Yeah. No, I love that stuff, man. We even like the new one, Inside Out. Like we just watched that new Disney Pixar
that was
one.
Pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there was like so many like great little things that are funny for adults that kids aren't going to get. But like, you know. And I think that's what's fun about animated movies and, you know, these and more children movies today, that they're funny for all ages and stuff. Right. And
they're getting a lot better.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't beat, like, 90s cartoons, though.
Oh, yeah.
Or Looney Tunes, for that matter.
Yeah, I heard...
Looney Tunes are the shit.
I heard there's, like, a new 90s Nickelodeon channel.
Yeah, that's going to play, like,
Ah, Real Monsters, Rocko's Modern Life, all the
shit I grew
up with. All the classics.
Fucking Dexter's Laboratory, Powerpuff Girls.
Splat.
Yeah. Can't forget about Doug.
Yeah.
Fucking
Rugrats.
Hey Arnold.
Yeah.
I love all like the game shows like Double Dare and
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah,
Legends of the Hidden Temple. Man, I
wanted to be on
that. That was a nerve wracking show.
Yes.
Wait
when
for
the
one of the
guards little, pop
yeah,
out.
Yeah, they come out of the wall and get
I'll give them your coin. Just go.
I was listening to this podcast, the About Last Night podcast. And it's just two comedians, Adam Ray and Brad Williams, and they usually talk to a bunch of other comedians, but he got, Mark Summers, or something, the host?
Yeah,
so, like, they got to talk to him, and he told a bunch of crazy stories about doing the game shows and, like, you know, and all this stuff, and I guess he's like, he wrote a book, which is why he was on the show to promote the book, but he's got like OCD or something, and so he was talking about dealing with that, and it was just, it was interesting, man.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. Then I went back, after that, I went and looked up some clips, and I was looking at, you know, watching old things, videos on YouTube of him, and then there's one that popped up, like where he's on, like, the Tonight Show. Yeah, with Leno, and something happened like with him and I think it was Burt Reynolds or something. Like they start like fighting, and they end up like they like
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, they got some kind of like they had like a pie fight kind of thing, and then like it got like way over. You know, like yeah, it turned into a real thing. Like, and they started like, you know, they kind of like Jay like separates them, you know, kind of thing, and then like they're sitting back on the couch and like and you know covered in pie filling stuff and. And then he's saying, said something about like his wife or whatever, and you know it was just,
oh wow,
yeah, it was,
man,
it was,
taking
yeah, sure,
look that up.
Yeah, it was interesting. So yeah, if you're looking for something to YouTube, go check that one out. So
check that. Yeah,
do that when I'm done watching cat videos.
Yeah, right. So somebody put something. I've seen the video a couple times, but somebody shared one the other day, and it was that video. It was kind of like a mashup kind of thing, a bunch of different ones.
Bunch of cat videos.
This was a dog. It was cats and dogs, but the one I really like is this dog that like the guy like opens the front door to the house and like he you know he's already on the phone or something, got the camera going, and the dog is like just sitting up in the chair, like what? You know, like, just,
it's the, yeah, I watched that one.
Yeah, it's just the funniest look on his face. Just like, cracks me up. So obviously, makes great. Radio.
Yeah, everybody can see it.
Yeah,
that's right.
But,
just visualize.
Sure. Just imagine a dog sitting up looking like a person.
That's right.
It's funny.
Hilarious. He thinks he's people.
Yeah. He thinks he's people.
Yeah. Well, I guess we ought to wrap this thing up, huh?
I suppose so.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's been a good time.
Yeah. So, we'll throw some tracks on. What are you guys thinking? What are we feeling?
We'll throw the single on for sure.
From Below.
Yeah.
From Below.
Yeah.
Looking good with Broken Bones in there too. It's a nice heavy one.
Yeah. You guys got any stories about those songs? Like, where do those come about or anything? How do you get motivated to write that stuff?
Actually, From Below was, I think it was the third song we ever wrote.
Yeah, third one.
And, not really a whole lot of a story to that one. It was one of the first three songs. Like, we started out with three core songs. And then we had Distance, You Don't Know, and From Below. And it was me and Keenan working those out, and then we got together with Alex and hashed those three songs out, and then started writing a couple more, and decided to take up the Precious Henry here.
Yeah, they already had, you guys had, like, probably six or seven written.
Yeah, we had almost the whole album written, pretty much.
Yeah, by the time I auditioned, I was just scrolling through Craigslist one night, and I saw their ad, and I was like, checked them out, and I was like, this guy's pretty dope.
Yeah.
I'm going to go audition.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. The Craigslist, it's crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, it's a good...
I've heard a lot of stories, like, you know, bands that come together like that, and it's...
He didn't get murdered, so...
Yeah.
Or that's raped. That's a plus,
Yeah. And then,
count that.
Looking Good with Broken Bones, there is actually a pretty funny story behind that song. When we were in the process of writing it, I'm not going to name any names, but there was a girl who came over to the house while we were downstairs jamming, and she had to use the restroom, and...
This was before I was in the band, right?
No, you were here.
Was I here?
Yeah, we were just writing that song. It was the first night we had done anything with it, and she happened to flush the toilet, and I guess used a little too much toilet paper or something, but it caused the pipes in my basement to just start spewing water all over the place. We're in the middle of playing this song, and then it's just, there's water everywhere. We're like, what the hell? She didn't know what was going on and didn't know how to use a plunger, which was confusing, but whatever, that's beside the point. We're downstairs, and it ended up having the working title of Titanic for the longest time because it felt like we were sinking. We're like, we're going down, fellas!
We still refer to, like, every single one of our songs by the working titles when we practice the stuff. I don't even know what they're all called. I might want to study the for real names of them before we play our show because I don't even know.
Might be something worthwhile knowing.
Yeah, if we ever got to the point where some fan wanted a set list or something, they wouldn't know what the fuck they
did. Dick Butt, what is that?
Must be a new song. that's cool. That you guys came together that way. And so when you're writing this stuff, you're saying, like, you guys pretty well had the instrumental down, and then does Henry write the lyrics to it, or do you guys?
Yeah, I write most of the lyrics.
Yeah,
he's done a little bit.
Yeah, I've done a couple of the songs, but Henry's the hook man.
Yeah,
so
you did most of Second to None. I just added the chorus in, and then
Distance.
And then Distance is kind of half of it between us, and then everything else was me. But, shitty writing.
He's so hard on himself.
we had
pretty much every song laid out prior to him joining the band, except for Second to None.
Yeah.
As far as this album is concerned,
And we got three new ones for the for the release show.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to have a couple of new songs to throw out at the show, so...
Any other
surprise?
You got some other surprises in line too, maybe?
Yeah, there'll be surprises.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool.
Jake's penis might flop.
Hey,
have a little wardrobe
buff. We'll see.
We're going to have some giveaways.
Do a little Super Bowl circa 2000 and whatever.
Yeah, we're going to have some giveaways, some raffle off some stuff.
Nice.
Yeah,
so definitely come to the merch table.
Yeah.
And, see what that's all about.
Very cool.
Still getting the details hammered out, but
yeah,
free shit at the show if you show up. You know,
that's right.
Yeah,
making more than a $15. You know,
yeah,
that's right.
There's so much value. Yeah. I can't express the value.
You could potentially walk away with a lot of shit for $5.
Yeah. Hey, you know, worst case scenario, just come over to the merch table and chat with us afterwards.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or before, whatever.
Be real chatty.
Some chatty Cathy's.
That's that's what it's all about. That's my favorite part, is just to take it to the next. I mean, you know, I was kind of talking off mic about how I've been able to take being a fan to being a friend and everything. And it's like, it's really a cool moment when you can get to hang with you guys, you know, off the stage and, you know, and you know, become friends and stuff too. So, like, that's really cool moment, you know, like, and then get to meet you guys and get to, you know you personally and stuff besides just as the rock stars on the stage.
Yeah, we got to... We got to talk to most of the guys from Devil You Know after that show, because there was only, you know, it was a cool 20 people there.
You guys were half the crowd.
Right.
That's right.
Pretty much.
And their drummer, he is super nice. Very Australian.
Aussie, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's very so Australian. Cool that he was just smiling the entire show.
Oh, yeah.
Show.
He was freaking out the whole show. Yeah. It was hilarious.
Nice.
He was just looking at everyone.
Love seeing that. You know, the dude is just having a blast.
And he was actually hanging out at their merch table just like off to the side, like, listening to all the bands, you know, and watching what he could, you know.
Yeah.
After the show, he was like, "You were in that first band, right?" And like, it's like, "Man, you were Waylon." Fucking awesome.
I saw Matt Bronger at Firebird one night, and he's a stand-up comic, and my friend Ryan opened up for him, Ryan Dalton, and Matt actually remembered his name, and I was actually out watching his set and was laughing and stuff, and so I thought that was really cool that he's like genuinely, you know, watching and, you know, enjoying the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then when he took the stage, you know, he's like, "Hey, what about how about let's give it up for Ryan and stuff?" And it was just like a really and then like he played on Ryan's name, how you know, Ryan kind of, you know, has like kind of nerdy, you know, glasses and stuff, kind of looking. But how Ryan Dalton sounds like a big tough, like '80s, you know, action. You know, this is Ryan Dalton.
Sounds,
you know,
it's like Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. So he made it. You know, it was fun that he was like riffing on his name and made a whole joke about it and stuff. But it was, you know, it's cool that when you're opening for somebody and they actually take the time to, you know, acknowledge the opening bands and stuff.
Absolutely.
You know,
instead of just hiding out the whole time,
yeah,
and come out and do their thing and leave.
Yeah, I know, forget his name now. The drummer for Head PE, he's always real good about that stuff too. My bunch of my friends, X714 and Hollow Point Heroes, have got to play with him a couple times, and he's always out there on the side of the stage rocking out with the band, and it's really cool to see when, like, the headliners are supporting and stuff, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, all right. Well, so yeah, again, October 3rd, Pops, $5, Through the Scope, Discrepancies, was it Post-Primal?
Post-Primal, right? Yeah.
And
Noesis.
Noesis, yeah.
Is that all we got at this point?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, there might be a couple more added on there, right. But that's what we're looking at right now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's that'll be fun.
Yeah,
it's going to be a hell of a night. Yeah.
All ages.
Yep. Yes. Yep. There's a $2 surcharge for minors, but
cool minors.
Whatever. You know. Whatever. $2.
Yeah. But yeah, that'll be a good time. And so go on throughthescopeband.com /shop if you want to buy them online, or you can and you can get the digital album exclusive.
That's right. Until Friday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or you can catch these guys in person and buy a $5 ticket or...
That's right.
Discrepancies, they got tickets too, right?
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. So does Noesis.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, all the bands should have tickets right now.
Yeah, so.
Hit up any and all of them.
Right. And then what do we agree to play?
Come From below.
From below.
From below. Yeah.
Looking good, but damn broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'll throw those on and get you a little sample of what you're in the store for on October 3rd.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. This has been a great
thanks
time.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
And I will see you there October 3rd.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Episode 119. It's a wrap.
Bye.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.